left here when I was just a little boy, but praise the Lord, I was saved in the old building.
Thank God for salvation.
Amen.
It'll change your life, and it's a joy to be here tonight. Just want to quickly introduce my wife and my children. Amy, if you'd stand, and the kids, and appreciate them coming over with us tonight. And it's an exciting night to be here. We praise the Lord for the accomplishments of these young people. And what an exciting time. It's hard to believe that this day is finally here. And congratulations to all of you, and congratulations to all the parents. I'm sure you thought this day would never come, and you're excited as well that they're here at this time. Some of them, it came by pushing and shoving and homework and a lot of school projects and a heavy cost. But I want to say God bless you for your effort and your work and your investment in these young people and your investment in them having a Christian education. And that's not a light thing in today's society. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 12? And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word tonight as we honor the book. John chapter 12. Be honest, I had another message prepared, and the Lord just seemed to change direction tonight as I drove over here. And so Lord just seemed to impress some things upon my mind, and so I had my wife get out some paper and pen as we drove, and I usually don't try to preach something new tonight, but I just really felt this was of the Lord. John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the supper, or at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bar that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, tonight we pray that you would give insight to your word, and I pray that you would open up our hearts and allow us to see the power of this book. And I pray tonight that our hearts would be changed. Lord, we want to thank you for this time. We want to thank you for these young people and for the great accomplishment that they have achieved here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them for this, but I pray tonight there is work to be done. So we ask your Holy Spirit to meet with us tonight. Lord, if you're not with us tonight, if you're not dealing with our hearts tonight, all is in vain. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit for this hour, in this place, for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this place in our life, in many ways, graduates, you have come here by the leadership of those that are around you. You have come here because of parents, because of their ideas, because of the church, because of an upbringing, because of an institution, maybe because of some teachers that have pushed you and some principals that have pushed you and counselors that have loved you and coaches that have helped you. But the truth is tonight you cross a river in your life and you go to another step, another chapter, a chapter to where all that has been invested in you, you will choose how you will spend it. Now I want you to think about that. All that has been invested in you, and there has been a great investment. Although you are here tonight and we applaud you for what you've done, you need to understand that there is a great investment that has been placed upon you and poured into your life into your heart, into your value system. And I want to be honest with you, this Christian school and the philosophy of Landmark Baptist Church is not so that you might just receive an education, but that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ, and with your heart and your life, you might serve Him all the days of your life. There's no mistake. This is not just a school with a Bible class. It's a school connected to a church, connected to the Word of God, connected to the Lord Jesus Christ that has been placed to change your mind, to change your heart, to understand the value system that is there. Now, in this passage, I'm reminded in John chapter 12 that in Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14 and Luke chapter 22, we all in the Gospels have a reference to this miracle here. Although Martha and Mary's name is not mentioned, the act is there and the heart is there, and a reference is made by the Lord Jesus Christ that wherever the gospel is preached, this story, this sacrifice would be a memorial forever. Think about what a memorial that would be. We find here in this passage that there's a scene that takes place of a very powerful sacrifice. Mary comes in, and it's an unusual time. They're in Bethany. Jesus is about to head to Jerusalem for the last time. He would go to be crucified. He would go as the sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we find here that as Jesus is about to make this last final journey to Jerusalem and Golgotha's hill, he stops here at Bethany, and here in chapter 11, we've just had Lazarus raised from the dead. There's a reference to that in verse 1. And they're sitting here around this table, and I can just imagine the conversation that Lazarus and Jesus are having, and the disciples, I'm sure, are very silent and probably taking notes. You can only imagine as Lazarus had come out of the grave. And here is Mary, and Mary comes, Martha's serving. And verse 3, it says that Mary has an ointment of spikenard, very costly. And we find here that she begins to pour this out on the Lord Jesus Christ and anoint His body for the burial, anoint His feet there. And I believe she anointed the entire body. I don't believe it was just the feet. In Matthew and Mark, it talks about anointing His head. But we do find in this passage the reference here that although she anointed the head in Matthew and Mark, here the reference is made, the emphasis is made on Mary taking care of the feet of Jesus. Aren't you thankful how every gospel makes a different picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? And here it's emphasized her washing His feet with her hair and washing that ointment and soaking it up with her hair. And notice here in this passage, I want you to catch, because the Bible emphasizes Judas's reaction in verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bar that was put there. Now watch this. There are two ideologies that are mentioned in this chapter. One is that Judas looked at this act and this sacrifice and this pouring out of this very costly, expensive ointment, 300 pence, almost a year's wage, and pouring this out on the feet of Jesus, and he looked at her sacrifice as a waste. He looked at what she had did and the accomplishments here and the thing that she had done before all of those in the room. And his disdain upon this was that, you know what? You've taken your life, you've taken your treasure, you've taken your value, and you've wasted it upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say this in this room, that there are some that will take their life, and you may look at serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may look at sacrificing for the Lord Jesus Christ and taking all that you have and pouring it out upon the person of Christ, and you may look at it as a waste, and that's exactly the camp of Judas Iscariot. But Mary thought he was worthy. And there will be two that will graduate tonight. There will be those that will take their items of value and take their heart, and they will take what they treasure,
and they will keep it to themselves. And they will determine how they'll use their life and their heart and their treasure. And they will plan it and they will map it out. Oh, they don't mind being in the same room with Christ. They don't mind attending church here and there. But the truth is, as far as pouring out their life as a living sacrifice, used for the glory and the purpose of God, used for His pleasure, oh friend, that would be a waste. But oh, I hope that tonight there would be some Marys.
Yes.
I would hope that there'd be some young people in this room that might look at all that they have and that their value system might change. And they might say this one phrase, He is worthy. I want to be honest with you, young people. You might be a senior here tonight, and the truth is maybe your greatest value is a 2001 Ford Escort sitting out in the parking lot with a lot of duct tape on it. I don't know what you have, what you value, what you drive. I don't know what your possessions are, but I will tell you this. The greatest thing that you could ever give the Lord Jesus Christ is your life. The Lord is looking for somebody that will look at Him and say, He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. I graduated from a Christian school where there was 33 of us that walked across the platform. I won't give you the date, it was many years ago, but the truth is I wish I could say today that so many of them were serving God and in church and Sunday school teachers and deacons and pastors and missionaries. I know a lot of them made a lot of claims. I know a lot of them did a freshman year in Bible college, but the truth of them is this, hardly any of them are even in church today, and that breaks my heart, but I'll tell you what happened. It happened not when they were in Bible college. It didn't happen when they were 25 and 30. It happened when they were a freshman and a sophomore and a junior and a senior that they said this, I don't mind going to church and I don't mind being around the things of God, but the truth is my treasure belongs to me. My life belongs to me. And to take my life and to pour it out and to sacrifice it on the things of God, that would be a waste of all that I have. Oh, but I'll tell you, if you don't waste it on Christ, you'll waste it on this world. The only way to save your life is to lose it. Doesn't the Bible say that? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me forever. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall find it. I tell you tonight, the only way that you'll save your life, the only way you can live for eternity, the only way you can invest for heaven is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of three things that I want to point out very quickly tonight. Number one, I want you to notice the motive of our sacrifice. I have to look at Judas and I have to look at Mary, and one thought he was worthy, one thought it was a waste. And I have to look at Mary and say, Mary, what caused you? What caused you to do this? To take your treasure, to take your life, to take your heart, to take your investment, and to pour it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe two things very quickly. Number one, I believe that she saw something that motivated her, a victorious Savior. You see this? Listen to me. You'll never be able to give anything to Christ until you have a fresh view of who He really is. Your sacrifice to Christ will only be in view as you see Him as He really is. Oh, He was not just a man. He was not just a prophet. In chapter 11, her entire life had been changed. You see, she had been sitting in her room and pouting. She was pouting because almost 4 days earlier, she had sent messengers, and she had sent the messengers to tell Jesus that Lazarus, her brother, was sick. Come quickly, touch him and heal him. But Jesus had prolonged his journey and taken his time, and now he had been dead for 3 days. And you see, the Jews believed in what was called soul sleep. They believed that somehow that a spirit might hover over the body for a couple of days. Jesus waited until everybody knew he was dead. As a matter of fact, the claim was, Lord, he stinketh by now. Yeah. She was in her room pouting. It was Martha that ran out to see the Lord, but Mary stayed in pouting. And you remember when Martha finally went and said, Mary, the Lord calleth for you. And she finally came out and kind of pouting and looked at the Lord kind of whimpering and said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother had not died. I know you're a prophet and I know you're a good man, but he wouldn't have died if you would have been here. Oh, I'm going to tell you, she didn't understand how powerful he was. She didn't understand what kind of a Savior he was. She didn't understand that he was the Lord of glory. I can just see them as they come up to the grave and Jesus says, move the stones. And they move the stones after a little bit of an argument. And Jesus cries out, can you understand this? The same God that was back in Genesis 1, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, my friend, he that once stunk came out. What dead had claimed, Christ had now claimed. What sin had defamed and destroyed, he came out because the Savior had called his name. Aren't you thankful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I want to tell you something. Her view of who God was changed in just a heartbeat. Her view of who Jesus was, he was not just a man. He was not just a prophet. He was the Son of God. I'm going to tell you today that she was able to see him as the victorious one. He is worthy. Tonight, if you're not saved, I'm telling you, tonight's a good night for you to get saved. You're lost in your sin. You're undone. And I'm telling you, the grave is calling your name. But there's somebody else calling your name. The Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Nance, I came here because somebody asked me to come. I came here because somebody's graduating that I know, maybe a relative or a daughter or a son or a nephew or a niece. I'm telling you, you're here tonight because God is sovereign. You're here tonight because God desires to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. Tonight is an appointment with an almighty God. And I'm telling you, this word of God, as it's being preached tonight, there is something piercing your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is taking this book and plunging it into your soul and calling you into salvation. And tonight you have two choices. You can walk away and say, it will be a waste, or you can bow your knees in your head and your heart and say, he is worthy. There is no other way of salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find tonight that she saw a victorious Savior. But I want to say that once she got her eyes fixed upon who Jesus was, it changed her value system. I'll tell you, that's what you call priceless will become worthless unless Christ is in the middle of it. Hey, listen, your home, it's worthless unless Christ gets in the middle of it. Your treasures will be worthless unless Christ gets in the middle of it. Your life is literally valueless unless Christ is in the middle of it. All that she stored and all that she valued and all that she saved, I'm going to tell you something. It was worthless without the touch of God upon it. She knew who he was, and in light of the Savior, her value system changed. How does a young person give his life to go to a mission field to save those that are lost, to share the gospel with? How does somebody do that? I'll tell you, it's not that you get a burden of those on the mission field. It's the fact that you get a fresh view of who Christ is. Boy, when you get a fresh view of Christ and you fall in love with him, it'll change everything about you. You understand that we must have the right motive. And the right motive is not money. It is not anything else but a love for who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Secondly, I want you to notice not only the motive of her sacrifice, we notice the method of her sacrifice. It tells us here in verse 3, Then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. For time's sake, I'm not going to take you back and forth to the different references. But I'm reminded of Matthew. It says this, that she broke the vessel. Boy, I like that. You know, God only uses broken things. Until you're willing to get on the altar and let your life be broken, Christ can't use you. God wants to use you, but friend, you need to be broken for his sake. I'm going to show you that the vessel was broken, but I want you to notice that the ointment, all that was there, was not used for Mary, and it was not used for her purpose. It was not used to bring glory to herself, although other women would take this and maybe use it in precious, small value and maybe place it upon them so that men might look at them and so that men might smell them and so that men might notice their presence when they walked in the room. Oh, no, friend, this would not be used on her. It would be used on the most precious thing in her life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she would take it and she would pour it on the body of Christ and on his head. And she would anoint the body of Jesus. And I want you to notice the method of all of our sacrifice. Number one, we must be broken. But number two, the attention must not be on us, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe when this chapter started, they're sitting at the table and there was Lazarus. Probably all the focus was on Lazarus. They probably walked in and said, hey, isn't that the guy that was dead? Hey, wasn't he the one that everybody said stunk? And now, is that him? I want to talk to Lazarus. I want to see Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus, if you get a second, I'd like to talk to you for about 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you, Mary took all the focus off of Lazarus. She took all the focus off of herself. And she put all the attention upon Jesus Christ. Young person, I don't know what your desire is and I don't know what your business is going to be. But I will tell you this, all the attention must be on Christ. If it's not on Christ, it's on the wrong thing. She had poured it on him, and now the focus and the attention and the smell would be on him. We find here in this passage that the Bible says that the odor filled the house. I mean, there wasn't a place you couldn't go where you couldn't smell this wonderful odor. It was drawing you. It was causing questions. It was bringing an excitement in the room as people were wondering, where's that smell? What's it coming from? What smells so good? That's such a pleasing smell to me. And they would find out that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of her method of sacrifice as we find in verse 3. And I want you to see this, young people. The Bible says here, the very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. I look at that verse and I have to say this. For her to have the right sacrifice, she has to have the right position. She was at the feet of Jesus. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you never go wrong when you're at the feet of Jesus. She was at the feet of Judas wasn't there. I think he probably was sitting in the background like this. What do you think? But I believe Mary was there at the feet of Jesus, and as she was anointing the feet of Jesus, there's something that we find about this humbling position. You see, this is the place where you and I will receive grace. The Bible says God resisteth the what? Proud, but he gives grace to the... And here she is at the feet of Jesus, and she's humbling herself before the Lord. She has poured this ointment upon the Lord, and now she's taking her hair, and she's wiping the feet of Jesus. Now, we read this, but stop just for a second. There's not a woman that came into this room tonight that did not spend time fixing her hair. Yeah. The hair is a picture of the woman's glory, right. Is it not? Yeah. It's a picture of the woman's beauty. The Bible talks about the long hair being the picture of her glory, the thing that represents her glory in her life. Watch this. She is taking her hair, which probably that morning she had spent time on, and curling and fixing and combing and causing it to be beautiful and causing it to be attractive and causing it to be well-pleasing. And now she's taking her glory. She's taking that which she values the most. Yeah. I tell you, your kids can do a lot of things with you, moms, until they mess with your hair, then they cross the line. Is that true? They can mess with daddy's hair all day long. I mean, he can just whoop, whoop, and it's back in place. He may not even have to do that much to it. But the truth is that for every girl, it wasn't a whoop, whoop, I'm ready to go. I guarantee you that there was some time to make that look just right. And there were probably some heated arguments tonight in front of the mirror with, oh, I'm having a bad hair day. Would you agree with me that for Mary to get down on her knees was one thing, but for her to take her hair and die to self in such a fashion. Are you catching this? To die to self in such a fashion. And to take her hair and to sop up the oil and the grease and all the things that were in the feet of Jesus. For her to wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. Listen to me. I want you to catch this. It was not just the vessel that was broken. It was Mary's idea of self that was broken. And now we find the true glory of God. It was not in the aroma of the ointment. It was the aroma of one who had humbled himself before God that he might be exalted. Was it not John the Baptist that taught us the verse so well? He must increase.
I must decrease. If God's going to get the glory, friend, it's not a matter of just praise the Lord. No. For Him to get the glory, for Him to increase in my life, I must decrease. There was a method of this sacrifice that we find here. But I want you to notice lastly, very quickly, not only the motive of her sacrifice and the method, but lastly, I want you to notice the memorial of her sacrifice. I want you to notice here as we look at this memorial, this which would be remembered, first of all, that there's the power of the sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 3 that the odor filled the room. Now, you say, Brother Nance, what's the big deal about that? Well, I want you to catch that the attention was on the Lord Jesus Christ. But young people, I want you to catch this. As she humbled herself, as she took her hair, as she took her glory, and now placed it on the feet of Jesus, what was poured out upon Him now rested upon her. I know I'm visiting tonight, but that's an amen statement right there. What was poured out on Him now rested on her. Do you understand what Mary smelled like? She smelled like Jesus. She smelled like Jesus. You couldn't tell them apart in her smell. I don't know if she smelled before in another way, but I can tell you now that expensive perfume and the fact that she had broken it and sacrificed it and poured it out on Him, now what was poured out on Him ran out on her. I'm going to tell you, friend, you know what the joy of serving God is? Is that when you pour out your life on Him, the glory spills over on you. Friend, I don't walk around in my righteousness. I don't walk around in my glory. But oh, I'm telling you, I believe this. The more we serve Him, the more we sacrifice for Him, the more we humble ourselves before Him, the more we pour out our life on Him, the more He pours His life out on us. Oh, that there might be some young people that walk out of this room without the stench of the world upon them, without the stench of Hollywood upon them, that somebody might say, you smell a lot different. Smell like you've been with Jesus. I'm reminded in the book of Acts, those two men, you remember those disciples, Peter and John? I love that statement. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Oh, that somebody might walk over and say, I see something in you. You've been hanging out with Jesus, haven't you? Praise God. What an identification. What a label. What a smell. I'm tired. I'll tell you this. I'm a little fed up with our young people today with a Christian tag and a worldly smell. Come on. We bring them to school. We get them in Sunday school and Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. They've been wallowing in the mud of this world. And they come back with a stench on them that's not right. They come back with a stench of impurity. They come back with a mouth that's full of vulgarity. I'm telling you, God help us to raise up a generation that will sacrifice and give their life to Christ and find the glory of God being poured out all over life. Oh, that we might smell like Jesus. Reminded of a story of a man. His name was Joe. He was in a union mission there, and he'd gotten saved. And when he'd gotten saved, I mean, God just changed his life. Used to be on the street, didn't have a job, drug addict, alcoholic. Got in fights, missing half his teeth, nose broken in so many places, but he got saved in the preaching meeting. He came forward and he said, you know, I want to get my life cleaned up. And he got in a rescue mission, and before you know it, he became the janitor and he became the cook. And I mean, everywhere in the rescue mission, they let him have a free cot. And he just stayed there all the time, serving God and working and just cleaning and doing and helping guys and passing out Bibles. One night, a preacher was preaching and a guy came forward, an old drunk. He knelt down and he's in the corner and he's like, the preacher was new. He was visiting and he heard this guy say, oh God, help me to be like Joe. Help me to be like Joe. Help me to be like Joe. Guy went over and nudged him and said, son, you're praying wrong. You're supposed to say, help me to be like Jesus.
The man looked up and he said, honest, he said, I don't know Jesus. I only know Joe. If he's like Jesus, I want to be like Joe. I want to be like, listen, God help us that we would be like Christ, that we would smell so much like him, you couldn't tell the difference. Oh, that our attitude and actions might reflect the one that is worthy. I'll tell you, friends, young people, you're going to have a lot of things thrown in front of you. A lot of people will tell you, live your life for this. The world says, live your life like this, smell like this, do this. I want to tell you, he is worthy of the sacrifice. I find here that there was a power that filled the room. I also want you to notice that there was a penetration of the sacrifice. I tell you what, we get some godly young people, it'll split a room, won't it? Old Judas, he was okay until she got godly. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of had a little problem with this. I mean, you know, I think we're honoring the Lord a little bit too much. Boy, I tell you, we need some young people that'll split a room. We need some young people that'll be like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that'll take a stand. When Christ is exalted, man's righteousness is brought into question. Judas, who declared himself to be the... I like how the Bible just tells it like it is. He was trying to look like he was... worried about the money. You know what the Bible said? He wasn't worried about the money. He was a thief. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how God just puts the thumb right on us, doesn't he? Puts the bullseye right on us. He calls it like it is. Judas, you're not worried about your righteousness is as filthy rags, friend. You're a thief. But I'll tell you, boy, when we get godly people, it'll separate man's righteousness. It'll call it into question. And the Judases in the church will walk away in disdain. But lastly, I want you to notice about the memorial of this sacrifice that there was a promise with it. God made a promise. Three things, and then I'm going to be done. Number one, that which is spent for Christ is never forgotten by God. Did you catch that? That which is spent for Christ is never forgotten by God. What a promise. What a promise. It is greatly valued by God. I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of things that man would value. I find here that Judas valued this ointment and what it was worth, but you know what? God didn't care about that ointment one bit. He could have made that ointment like that. Is that true? Yes or no? He could have gone outside and it could have rained ointment. What's going on? It's raining spikenard. He is God. He could have done it. He cared not about the spikenard. He cared not about the ointment. That had apt, although it may have been priceless with man, he cared not about that. You say, what was so valuable? What was priceless to him? I'll tell you what was priceless to him. What was priceless to him was that he was able to pour out his glory on a sinner who now was a saint named Mary. And I want to tell you that God in heaven is waiting to pour out his glory upon your life. But he cannot do it until we pour out our life on him. What a promise. What a promise. I find here that we're reading this story here tonight. We're reading it because God said he would use this as a memorial forever. What a sacrifice. What a thought that God would take such a woman, take such a sacrifice. And tonight, in May of 2010, we're still talking about Mary. Oh, friend, I want to encourage you tonight. You have one life. One life. There are those that would say, oh, use it for yourself. Don't waste it on something like Christ. You pour it out on him, you'll never get it back. I will tell you this. If you pour it out on him, you'll receive benefits all the days of your life. Praise God. No regrets in serving him. No regrets in sacrificing for him. Friend, I want to encourage you tonight. One life. One life. He is worthy.